The Southern Humboldt Fire Safe Council hosted their Fire Resources Fair at the Mateel Community Center on April 27th for the second year in a row. Last year, the event was initiated by the Humboldt County Fire Safe Council through a CAL FIRE grant that provided funding for education and outreach. While last year's event was co-produced by the Southern Humboldt Fire Safe Council and Humboldt County Fire Safe Council, this year's event was produced by Southern Humboldt Fire Safe Council solely and sponsored by local businesses Soham Health, Garberville Rotary, Vocality Community Credit Union, Daisy's, Alpenglow Farms, New Harris General Store, University of California Cooperative Extension, Chautauqua Natural Foods, and the Mateel Community Center. The first presentation highlighted 8 of our neighborhood fire-safe councils and FireWise communities, local groups organized to foster fire resiliency and preparedness in each of their necks of the woods. This panel included Christina Huff with Garberville FireWise, Craig Johnson with Bembo FireWise, Chief Nick Pape with Shelter Cove FireWise, Christopher Larson with the Whale Gulch Fire-Safe Council, Anna Rogers with Whitethorn Fire-Safe Council, Som Kim Lay with the Harris Fire Safe Council, Chief Tanner Spees with Edersburg Fire Safe Council, and Kathy Weber with Crooked Prairie Fire Safe Council. Southern Humboldt Fire Safe Council Chair Gail Eastwood thanked the attendees.
What wonderful neighborhoods and communities we have here with us today. Really happy to see you here. There's a lot of great work being done in this community, and there's power in that. And this panel represents that power.
Moderator Carianna Reynolds first asked the panel,
what issue or event led to the formation of your group? What was the spark?
I'm Christina Huff with Garberville FireWise. It was the summer of 2020, the August complex, thinking about how vulnerable Garberville is and how like it is to paradise.
Good afternoon. I'm Craig Johnson. My wife and I have a homestead up in the Bembo area. Heather Burke and Anna Edwards and Burgers, they started pulling together some community members to talk about how to organize to become more resilient over time. Some of their concerns were their age and being able to like get trees out of the way and access and egress. You know, the fear of the Paradise Fire happening again was really resonating with everyone, and that was a call to action, I guess. Moving forward, we became FireWise in a minute.
I'm Fire Chief Nick Pape with Shelter Cove Fire, Shelter Cove FireWise. Our FireWise program really started 2013, 2014. We had many fires impact Shelter Cove and a large fire threat out there. We're at the end of a very long, narrow, windy, pothole-filled road, and we have 4,000 lots, and there's a lot of vacant property owners, and there wasn't a solution to that, so we decided to be more proactive instead of reactive.
I'm Christopher Larson from Whale Gulch, been out there about 40 years, and we're neighbors of Shelter Cove, but we're quite a different situation. And a real catalyst for us to become a FireWise community was probably losing Nancy Peregrine, who was this incredible energy behind our fire department and our community, and did the job of 6 other people. And without her, we suddenly realized it was kind of a need for somebody to support the fire department, our volunteer fire company, which had its hands completely full just trying to be a fire company and moving along with our NEST programs, equivalent of CERT in Shelter Cove and maybe some of the other communities.
Representing Whitethorn Fire Safe Council, our council was started by our fire department's assistant chief, Kent Griggs-Miller, 4 years ago when there was a lot of fire activity, going out of town, coming back for the fire activity, and realizing that communications were just kind of in disarray, and really felt like there needed to be some people to address that really hyper-locally. So that was Kent's goal, was how to create a plan locally for communications and emergency response.
Hello, my name is Tanner Spees. I am with the Edersburg Fire Safe Council. We started through a series of community emergency response planning meetings with the Telegraph Ridge Fire Protection District and Fire Department, which Edersburg is inside. And through those meetings, we identified some goals. And one of the ideas of how to try to work to accomplish those goals was to create a fire safe council.
I'm Kathy Weber, and I'm with the Crooked Prairie Fire Safe Council, which is out in the Edersburg area. And I have lived there for 40 years, and in those 40 years, we've had our share of fires. Everything from escaped pile burns to generator shed fires to vehicle fires, and even, unfortunately, a couple of house fires that were a total loss. So we had a fire crew for many years, but we all got older. The insurance got more expensive. We had to disband. So out of that is how our Fire Safe Council came to be. And we had always, as a fire crew, we'd always done fire mitigation work. We spent a lot of time working on our road to reduce the fire fuel, hazard fuel buildup. And we help each other with our defensible space around our houses and a lot of education. We have a bulletin board that's usually very active during fire season. We also formed a NEST, Neighborhood Emergency Service Team, back in 1999, partly in response to the Y2K threat, which thankfully did not happen.
I'm Sam Kimley. I'm with the Harris Fire Safe Council. I have a few notes here from one of our founders and community elders, Wesley Stoft. A few summers ago, the August Complex came through. I think that was really the catalyst for us to form. It was just across the river from our area. Had it crossed the river, many people would have lost their homes and their livelihoods. And most of the official resources were elsewhere and not able to help our local community. So it was a lot of local ranchers and local volunteer fire department who was able to step up, make sure that it didn't progress further at a very key point. That's what compelled us to activate our neighborhood and start planning how to respond to this increase in catastrophic wildfires. We're really focused on hands-on work in our community, helping those who are less capable to take down trees or brush, things of that nature, and helping them to harden their homes and also create evacuation routes. I'd say we're very grassroots.
So the next question we're going to ask all our panelists here is, how are you addressing these concerns? What projects are you working on? In 2.5 minutes, good luck.
Christina Huff responded first.
Garberville Firewise is very focused on education. We have a 7-point action plan. Supporting our fire department is one of those action plans, and we were active in getting Measure U passed, so we have an expanded fire department now. We table at the Garberville Farmers Market on the first Friday of the month, and we sell or ask donations for reflective address signs and fire blankets. We're big fans of fire blankets. And now we have a go bag display too. We're encouraging people to be ready. And we're trying to reach out to the many residents of Garberville. Many are renters. Garberville's a very high percentage of renters. And so we're trying to outreach to absentee landlords also.
Craig Johnson with Bembo Firewise spoke next.
You know, first we became Firewise, then we organized to annex the southern Humboldt area south of Garberville and through Sprawl Creek into the Garberville Fire Department. So that was a huge, huge milestone.
Here's Nick Pape.
How do we involve our community? Our Shelter Cove Firewise is a fire department-sponsored program through the Resort Improvement District, which is the special district in Shelter Cove. So year one was that main assessment, what can we do now? Year two was, all right, we found out that fire is a threat and our evacuation routes are not sustainable with life. If we did have a large event in Shelter Cove, it's gonna be really hard to get people out. So then what do we do for notifications? So we invested in one of the first emergency notification siren systems. So we have 6 sirens strategically placed that can either do tsunami or wildfire hazard alerts, which hopefully wake people up and notify them. And we built up our fire department. We passed a fire tax similar to what Garberville did recently, which quadrupled our fire department funding, which gave us more resources to put towards being proactive. Now we're in the next phases of getting fuels reduction grant money.
Here's Anna Rogers.
Whitethorn Fire Safes Council, our main task has been gathering information for a while now. We're a very isolated community, even from each other sometimes. So we've been working on gathering information. We divided the district into 14 nests. Each nest has a leader, and that leader has been working on gathering information about everybody who lives in their nest. So what is their name? What is their address? How many people live in their household? Do they have fire or water availability? Do they have a gate that we might need to cut through to reach them? You know, what needs do they have? Do they have someone who might need to use a wheelchair or something like that in case of an evacuation? So we've been working really hard on that. With that information, we'll be creating maps that will be available to firefighters on Avenza, and also a notebook that will be in each fire apparatus vehicle. And each nest leader will have their list of information in the case of an emergency and be able to contact, check on people, let them know what's going on. We have designated emergency evacuation sites in multiple sites designated because we're all spread out and there is only one road in and one road out. So we really have to know where to go if there is an emergency. We have been working on getting address signs as well, as have the other groups. At no cost to the landowner, although we do accept donations, we really just want to get them up wherever possible, and we've been really successful at that so far. We also worked on getting street signs. Thankful to Bryceland, by the way, who worked on that for a long time. We kind of were able to get in on it on the end, and we have street signs now, which is shocking for Whitethorn. And we've also helped purchase 5 digital radios so far for our fire department. They're extremely expensive. I won't even say the figure here, but we need more. And eventually our nest leaders will have radios as well. For future plans, we would like to further develop the evacuation sites, evacuation routes, and work on fire resiliency for homesteads and the routes themselves.
You're tuned in to a KMUD special report of the Southern Humboldt Fire Safe Council's Fire Resources Fair for all who didn't make it to the Mateel Community Center on April 27th. Tanner Spees with Edersburg Fire Safe Council.
So after we started meeting, we started working on our list of goals and objectives. And at the same time, we pursued a California Fire Safe Council capacity building grant, which we received. That allowed us to really dig into some of the projects. Part of that grant was the development of 2 shovel-ready projects. So we decided as a priority to focus on defensible space, and our second project was a prescribed fire. So the defensible space coincided. We started working with the Humboldt County Fire Safe Council County Coordinator team and worked on a California Fire Safe Council Defensible Space grant, which we received. We were a part of the coordination of that development with Humboldt County Public Works and implementing partner Bryceland Volunteer Fire Department. So this project's it's a major accomplishment for our area, I think. We're very close to kicking it off. In fact, we are signing up applicants now. This is going to be implemented by the Bryceland Volunteer Fire Department fuels crew. They will also be sending firefighters out as home risk assessment technicians. And we are aiming to do defensible space treatments for between 90 and 120 houses. So that was a successful collaboration, I believe, and was a good result of that capacity building grant. The prescribed fire that we're planning, we are hoping to implement this fall, and that's going to be to create defensible space around the Edersburg Fire Station. So we're excited about that project. We've been coordinating with the MRC. We just installed 15,000 more gallons of water storage at the Edersburg Fire Station. So that's been a successful project. We are just seeing it come to completion. We did work on the evacuation grant through Public Works as well. Kathy here, also a part of the Edersburg Fire Safe Council, spearheaded that. And we now have street signs throughout the Edersburg and Telegraph Ridge area as well. And one of the projects we're really looking forward to, we're working to develop right now, is inspired by Chief Pape's evacuation high limb clearing. We hope to connect in with his project and take it out through Wilder Ridge and address the beginning of Dutyville Road as well.
Here's Kathy Weber.
So yes, this street naming project that Bryceland started a couple of years ago has turned out to be very popular, which is funny because when I first moved here, nobody wanted any signs. And it's working really well. So yes, Crooked Prairie Fire Safe Council is part of the Bryceland Fire Protection District. So we were also part of this, along with the road name signs, that the county put up. We installed road name signs on our private roads. So we put up 7 signs that's not just for our neighborhood, but our adjacent neighborhoods also. And right now we're really working hard on getting every driveway posted with an address sign, and it's going pretty well. Always doing education. We participated in a sudden oak death testing and education that the Mattole Restoration Council helped us put together, and we got a lot of work done there. I think it was really effective, a lot of treatments kind of holding it at bay. And a lot of the projects that we have done that required money other than physical labor came through the Mattole Restoration Council. We are really, really grateful for them. Back in 2014, we did a big fuel reduction project on our road. Previously we'd been doing it ourselves, but we went through a flash program for 2 miles of road, 2.5 miles of road. This really hadn't been done before, but the MRC helped us do this. We hired Dave Kahn's crew for part of that, and it's holding up really well. We definitely have been able to identify our escape routes or emergency routes, as you probably know them by emergency route. We call them escape routes because we don't use these roads all the time. But I developed a map that shows our area how to get out 4 ways. We have 4 ways out. We're not one of those one road in, one road out. And we actually are in a position to help Salmon Creek get out to the south, and Bryceland, Edisburg. We got this neck, this little rabbit warren of roads back there. And on the map, I also labeled the roads you do not want to go down. So, and we've shared that with everybody.
Salmon Creek Firewise is also doing amazing work and is part of this incredible grassroots network of volunteers. And now we're going to hear from groups about how they're organized. And this is really different between different groups. There's a lot of diversity in how groups are organized. So we'd like to hear about your organizational structure and how you're, you know, how do you communicate, and maybe when your meetings are, and how your group works organizationally.
Here's Christina Huff.
Garberville Firewise is a very small core group of 4 of us, basically, so we communicate by text message and email. We did have regular meetings for the first 2 or 3 years with great support from Trees Foundation and the county. Mitchell Danforth helped write our action plan, our assessment, and our action plan, and so we were meeting regularly to deal with all of that. But now we're just this little merry band of volunteers trying to get the word out. So it's pretty informal, but we very much appreciate the fiscal sponsorship through the Southern Humboldt Fire Safe Council and Trees Foundation support for any organizational needs we have at this point. And I do want to say we very much appreciated the Chipper Days and Defensible Space work. Also, we were able to help connect a few residents in Garberville to take advantage of those programs, and we'll keep doing that also.
You are listening to a KMUD special report for all who didn't make it to Southern Humboldt Fire Safe Council's Fire Resources Fair at the Mateel, April 27th. Craig Johnson spoke next.
In Benbow, we wear our FireWise certification hat proudly. And for us, that was a big milestone. We have a sign at the bottom of our road, and it really resonates a lot with our community. I'm about to renew my fire insurance for my home, which is ridiculous. It matches the mortgage. It's ridiculous how much it is. And even though we got annexed by Garberville, that's going to offer 1%, maybe 2% savings moving forward for me this year, maybe next year. But the FireWise offers 8%. That was where the work and the effort really is paying off. What the annex of Garberville probably did is going to allow some of us to keep our fire insurance instead of just get it taken away. So that's helpful. The other part of that is the Garberville annexation really helps with the medical services and really bolsters the Garberville's department's ability to get more money to become stronger and to help us all in the end.
Here's Fire Chief Nick Pape.
So Shelter Cove RID, pros and cons, we are more organized through certain means than other folks. We are organized through the Resort Improvement District. When we were formed, we had to have an actual district committee for a hazard mitigation committee. Our FireWise is a program of the Shelter Cove RID, and the fire department is also a program. So a lot of different levels to our development. We manage everything under the fire department now. So we have a all-risk volunteer fire department. We also have paid and full-time and part-time employees on the fire department. Our CERT team is ran like our fire department auxiliary. So anybody that can't put the time commitment-wise or physically into the fire department, we let them join our CERT team, which has a very lessened commitment to the time and effort that has to be put in. However, they are a huge part of any major incident that we have. They go through the CERT training, which is a FEMA-based training. They're also covered under, I believe it's Homeland Security's insurance if there's an emergency as well, so that could be some cost savings on the fire department in the long run. The FireWise program itself is funded through the fire department. So any grants, anything like that, the fire department will support, and the RID will usually provide the in-kind. Our fire chief position is also the emergency manager. So I run all of our grant programs for both our fire rescue, medical, and our wildfire prevention side. One thing we found in the early 2000s was CAL FIRE gets so saturated they can't provide all the services to meet their mission everywhere at once in the state. Shelter Cove Fire, we realized that we had quite a few fires to where there was only one state engine available, and it was going to be days or weeks before we saw more resources. And that led to a lot of our grant thinking as well, is, hey, what capacity can we build overall in order to incorporate some of these other volunteer departments and our own firefighters as well? So a lot of our grants are through the structure of the RID, which covers us, but also it adds to, we have to do our contracting a specific way, we have to do our meetings a specific way. So there's definitely pros and cons of both of those. And for, as Tanner said, any department or any organization looking at doing other grants, our policy at the RID is we'll share information, especially if the grant's related. So if you guys have a specific grant, my card's available, reach out to me, and I can either give you all or partial of whatever information might be applicable to your guys' project. So feel free to reach out.
Here's Christopher Larson.
So our communication is that we have a general email program in Whale Gulch for the community, and so any important FireSafe Council-related things usually will go out on that and keeps everybody pretty well apprised. We have two events a year to try and get membership and sign up and that sort of thing on May Day and Halloween. And those are our big opportunities to get together in the flesh.
Anna Rogers spoke next.
The Whitethorn Fire Safe Council, we help support our fire department. So we operate under their umbrella through the county. We're not the fire department's governing board, though. That's a different entity. We do have a chair, secretary, about 8 to 14 people generally attend our monthly meetings. We communicate through email as well, and we will have a phone tree for all of our nests eventually for emergencies. But we're fairly simple and unofficial, but fairly organized. And I want to shout out Kathy, who attends our meetings and is a huge help to us, keeping us focused and informed as to what's going on the Southern Humboldt Fire Safe Council level. So thank you, Kathy.
Kathy Weber.
So the Crooked Prairie Fire Safe Council is organized as a nonprofit mutual benefit corporation. A lot of people don't know about this option, but it's sort of like a homeowners association. And we are such a small community. We used to have 50 households. We're shrinking. We're down to 40 or maybe less, but it works well for us. This organization allows us to have $25,000 in assets, so that allows us to write small grants and apply for other, you know, funding kind of avenues. We have a president and a secretary. They are appointed. Nothing's changed much over the years. We're just stable and steady as you go. And we meet at least once a year. That's kind of a standard requirement of any nonprofit. You have to meet once a year. We meet more frequently when we've got a project we're working on or a grant we're applying for. Our meetings are open to the public. Usually about a third of the community shows up, which is pretty darn good. And we have great fun and great food. We really enjoy each other.
Here's Som Kim Lay.
With the Harris Fire Safe Council, we're a little more loosely organized. We do meet monthly in person, and vast majority of the time we have a Zoom link out for people in the community who aren't able to make it in person or people who are away. We're mostly, as I mentioned before, focused on hands-on work parties. So that's mostly what we're focused on when we're doing our planning. We do have eyes towards maybe developing a little bit more, but I don't think we'll ever lose that hands-on approach. It's loosely organized, but it works really well for us. Our main focus was just getting out there and making an impact as efficiently as we can. We do have an email list that we reach out to our community with, also a lot of word of mouth. We have the New Harris General Store, which is definitely kind of a nexus for our community, so there's a lot of conversation around that area. And we have Kim Phelps, who I would say is kind of a leader in our group, even though we don't have official titles for everybody. I do want to say thank you for keeping us organized and keeping us going through some of the slower times. I know it's really important for me to be part of this group and a lot of people in our community to be part of it and to get the help that it has, and you've really kept that going, so thank you.
Gail is going to come up, and I'll give a plug again for Southern Humboldt Fire Safe Council, which is able to umbrella a few of these other groups with fiscal sponsorship through Trees Foundation. So Southern Humboldt Fire Safe Council meets every first Thursday of the month from 5 to 6:30 on Zoom, and you can always find the link at sohumfiresafe.org. And I'll pass it on to Gail.
Southern Humboldt Fire Safe Council Chair Gail Eastwood spoke next.
I want to ask for a round of applause for all these community groups that are doing such a great job. It's just amazing the power and the creativity that rises here. And I'd like to say that if you're interested in organizing something in your neighborhood, we would love to help you. You can show up to one of our public meetings. Like Carrie said, every first Thursday of the month on Zoom. You only need 8 households to be a recognized FireWise community, which has a lot of benefit in terms of both organizing your action plan and having a hookup with a national organization that's going to be watching, are you doing your action plan? It also has some fire insurance benefit, which is a concern for a lot of people. And we enjoy supporting and helping in various ways these great organizations.
Thanks for tuning in to KMUD's coverage of the Fire Resources Fair at the Mateel on April 27th, hosted by the Southern Humboldt Fire Safe Council. Video recordings of the event will be available on the Southern Humboldt Fire Safe Council YouTube channel. For KMUD, I'm Serenity Wood.